Good morning, everyone. My name's Steve, and I've got the message for you this morning. Expectations. In relationships, there's two parties, and there's different expectations. You might think something should happen, and the other party doesn't think the same way, and it's all ties up in knots. Now, Katrina, my wife, she loves dogs. Ever since she was small, she wanted a dog, and she wasn't allowed one until she got married, and her parents passed over the responsibility of no dogs to me, and I failed. Katrina loves dogs, and she loves big dogs for some weird reason. She loves big dogs, and so we have an Irish wolfhound, which is one of the biggest breeds you could ever have. And Katrina chose this dog. She loves this dog. She buys blueberries and raw meat and yogurt, and she spends hours mixing all these things together to feed this big, stupid animal. I, however, don't really care about dogs, but Katrina loves it, provides for it, cares for it. And what does the dog think of all this? Katrina's got this mindset that when she's sitting down watching TV or relaxing, her dog will curl up beside her with her head on her lap and she'll just stroke it and everything will be nice. But Alfie doesn't have the same mindset. There's a different expectation there. Guess whose feet Alfie sits at when we watch TV? Mine! Now, I don't know if the dog doesn't like Katrina or doesn't like me, but either way, it's ticking all the boxes to put everyone offside. Katrina's expectations, so different to Alfie's. Rob McDonald finished our Exodus series last week, and he took us to the point where the children of Israel were accepting the Ten Commandments. And God had chosen a family. He chose a person first, Abraham, and it grew into a family, and that grew into a small nation. And God cared for this group of people. He poured out his heart and soul into it. He provided for their every needs. And Rob described the Ten Commandments last week as like marriage vows. And it sort of signifies an exclusive and faithful relationship between God and his people. And God poured himself out into this people and provided everything that they needed. And what was the people's response? Before Moses even got down from the mountainside with the Ten Commandments, they'd set up an idol and were worshipping an idol. I don't know whether they were intimidated, but Rob shared last week with the thunder, the lightning, the shaking of the ground. The people were scared and insecure. And so they said, what can we do to earn or deserve a relationship with this fearsome God? And so they failed. Now, today, we're going to be starting off our justice series. And the prophet Micah was the guy who wrote the words that Victor read earlier on today. And this is fast forward from the time of the Exodus and the Ten Commandments, about 720 years in the future from that time. Now, the children of Israel had experienced the kings, judges, people who were picking on them, fighting them, and doing unjust things to them. They had highs and they had lows. But God was wanting to get a message across, and he used the prophet Micah to say, I've suffered a great injustice. I've suffered a great offense against me. And in the start of Micah, he's saying, my expectations have not been met. And he gave this message to Micah. Whenever there's injustice or offense, our ears prick up, don't they? They sort of say, ooh, what are they offended about? I just wonder what they're upset about. What is unfair in this situation? What is unjust in this situation? And we're intrigued by it. We see shows like, well, back in the day, there was Judge Judy. I don't know who's replaced Judge Judy. But we're intrigued by injustice. And who's offended now? And why are they offended? And people, these days, people are offended by the smallest, minutest little thing. Have you ever noticed that? But does it lie? We like to analyze what people are offended by, and we like to analyze and see, does it match up with our own moral code? Is there any rightfulness in their offense? We all have an awareness of fairness. And why do we care about injustice? Well, it's imprinted into our DNA. Because we are made into God's image. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're charged to represent God, just like the children of Israel were charged to represent God, to humanity all around about it. And why do we care about injustice? Because God made us all valuable in his sight. We are all people of worth. It's not just women of worth, it's people of worth, and I'd like to expand the boundaries there, but I do appreciate what the women are doing. I love the little basket, it was very nice, and it's all relationship building, showing that people are valuable. Okay, now justice is a matter of making things right. If something is wrong, we'd like to make it right. If we've offended someone, our partner or our friend, we'd like to restore that relationship. We'd like to make it right. Now, God was rightfully offended. And in Micah chapter 6, he put this charge to the children of Israel, said, what have I done to you guys? I've done absolutely everything for you. I've rescued you out of slavery. I've given you leaders to lead and show you the way forward. I've given you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. I've given you the promised land. I've opened up bodies of water so that you could walk through on dry land so you could get to the promised land. I gave everything that you needed. What have I done wrong? Why have I been a burden to you? And the people's response, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, their response is they whinged and they whined. See, they missed God's intent. They missed God's heart for what they should be doing. They were taking it personally and saying, oh, we need to win God's favor. We need to bend over backwards. We need to do sacrifices and offerings. But they missed God's heart. God wanted them to represent him to the whole of humanity. The children of Israel's justice system is very much like the world's justice system today. Retribution. We want retribution. And it's focused on the offense. We need to have the offense dealt with. Retribution punishes. It isolates. it separates and it cancels out people so they can't have or enter into community and enter into relationships. It punishes and puts them aside. It polarizes. Retributive justice polarizes people. And we saw that in the referendum, didn't we? You are good or you are bad, depending on if you agree with me. Isn't that right? If you agree with me, oh, you're good. Thumbs up to you. But if you don't agree with me, get out of here. On to the side. You deserve to be punished. Now, that was a worldly view of justice and the children of Israel's view of justice. And then compare that with God's justice system. His justice system is relationship-focused. It looks past the offense and it sees the God-given value in the individual. And it endeavors, God's justice system endeavors to restore people into right relationships. Now, Jesus talked about God's justice system, his directives to his disciples. In Luke chapter 6, it says, love your enemies. Ouch, the people who offend you or the people that you've offended. But I tell you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those. Sorry, I should keep you up to date. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, then offer them the other one as well. God's justice system goes against the reality of what our natural response would be. In Luke 6, further on in the message, it reads it this way. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang right back at you. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. Not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. God's heart for you is to act justly and restore relationships. Remember Zacchaeus. He was a short tax man who was hated by everyone in his town. And Jesus knew that there was injustice in this town. He knew that it was happening and he sought it out because he wanted to make things right. And God wants us to, when we see injustice, he wants us to be conduits of change, to help people make things right. Jesus found the source of injustice up in a tree. Zacchaeus was hiding up there trying to get a good look of Jesus. And Jesus started with acceptance. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to go to your place for dinner. I want to have a meal. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to chat things through. And that's what happened. And I don't know what the conversation was like when they had that meal, but I do know the result. The Bible records the result. There was restoration. Restoration happened. The opportunity to make things right. Zacchaeus did an about face, and instead of stealing and getting things for himself, he repaid the debt that he stole from people. That and so much more. Relationship, restoration, making things right. In the New Testament, the New Testament Jews wanted a Messiah to mete out retributive justice, to punish and isolate people. He wanted them to come with a sword, but Jesus didn't come with a sword. He came with compassion and with empathy. Jesus came to restore and make things right. Here's a few verses about God's justice system. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Whatever we bring on a Sunday morning, whatever our service is at church, we try and bend ourselves over backwards to try and please God. He's not interested in that. He wants us to make things right, what make things just. This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. And so God came to save. He, the ultimate act of justice, instead of taking blood from people, he gave his blood. I love this passage in Romans chapter 3. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement to make us one with God, to restore that relationship with God. How did he do that? Through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at that present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. The reason I like this passage so much is that God didn't sweep the offense under the carpet. He didn't ignore the injustice. Our offense against God, our sin against God. He paid the very expensive price to make us right, to be justified through the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice. God's heart is for us to act justly with the people that we come into contact with. God's heart is for us to love mercy. Now, there's a guy that drives in with me on a Friday night at Hands and Feet to serve the homeless people in the city. And he used to work for a well-known charity. And they'd serve the people. But my friend wasn't happy with how they were doing their business, how they were showing mercy. See, they had a motivation system to encourage people to serve. And so they had a rewards program that if you met your goals, then you'd get rewarded with a prize or something good at the end of the month. And the motive was not to help others, but to fight and scramble and scrimmage and try to get this prize at the end of the month. Instead of the motive being mercy, they turned it into this toxic environment where people were trying to get money. And this guy was disgusted with the response of this well-known charity. And so he asked, could I be moved on from there? I want to work somewhere else. I want to serve somewhere else. And he came to Hands and Feet. And he said, the motive behind Hands and Feet is to help others, to serve others, and to have their best at heart. And he can see the total change of attitude in the Hands and Feet people compared with this well-known charity that he used to work for. God's heart for us is to love mercy, to be people-focused, and to faithfully show God's heart and love in a very real way. Remember, God said, forgive those who have offended us. We need to the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us as we forgive others. As Christ followers, we can be offended, but we can't stay offended long because we need to process our offense through God's mercy that he's given to us. And so because God has freely forgiven us, we don't have the right to stay offended. We can forgive other people. Showing mercy is people-focused. And mercy doesn't give us what we deserve, but God's mercy gives us what we need. The world doesn't need any more people with frowns and shaking fingers and shaking their heads. The world doesn't need any more of that sort of attitude. Our love for God is shown in our love for how we treat other people around us. The world should recognize us by our love for others. Not just those who do the right thing by us, but even our enemies, and that will show God's heart. God never tires of showing mercy. In Lamentations, it said, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. He faithfully loves. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a great spiritual discipline to get into, to every morning think of three things that we can thank God for? And it's a great spiritual discipline. And if we can identify things that we can be thankful to God for, his mercy shown to us, then that helps us to be intentional in showing God's mercy with other people. God loves it when we show mercy, when we make things right. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. When we ignore things and leave things wrong and unfair and unjust, then God's going to judge that and say, that's not the right way to go. You need to deal with your attitude to mercy and are showing mercy to other people. Have you heard of the FROG acronym? FROG acronym. Fully reliant on God. Fully relying on God is the way that we should humbly walk with God day by day. When we humbly walk with God, we're showing our reliance and dependence on God each and every day. And we need to just have an attitude of humility when we deal with other people and also when we come before God. We're all learners. No matter how old we are, no one has got it all together. We had an elder in Kings Park a few years ago, a number of years ago. His name was Mr. Darnell. And he was a dear old gentleman, passionate for serving God. And he'd come into the elders' meeting and he'd share, oh, God's given me a kick in the pants this week. He's shown me something that I need to be aware of. And we're all in the process of learning. As Christ followers, we're in the process of being transformed to being more like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. And I wish we all had that same attitude as dear old Mr. D, that we are all teachable and willing to learn, what has God got in store for me? And so some of the verses about humility and walking with God, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What a great promise. All of you, clothe yourselves, put on the garment of humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. There's a song that I used to like back in the day. I'd rather walk in the dark with Jesus than to walk in the light alone. Yes, thank you. God wants us to walk humbly in reliance and dependence on him day by day. So, as a church, or as individuals, as we ask these questions, am I acting justly? Do I try and seek things out that are wrong or not right and try to make them right? Do I love mercy, showing God's mercy to the people around about us? Am I walking humbly in reliance with our loving Father? As a church and as individuals, these questions should continually stir on God's response, God's heart and his intent for his people, that we share his heart and love through acting justly, through loving mercy, and by walking humbly. Micah 6 encourages us to evaluate how we treat other people and how we walk in humble partnership with our God. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we just misunderstand you so much. We think that we need to earn your praise, earn your relationship, deserve it, and work towards it, bend ourselves over backwards so that we can be right with you. But the truth is, you've done it all. You have given us your very Son as an atoning sacrifice so that we can have a relationship with you. And all we can do is relax in that relationship and also reflect your heart to the people around about us, humanity around about us, who are suffering and dealing with injustice and unfairness all the time. I just pray that you'll give us your heart to stand up and shout out what's right and endeavor to make things right in our own little orbit and influence that we have around about us. So, Lord, I thank you for your word and your encouragement to have your heart today. Guide and direct us as we consider how we can do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with you day by day. Now we'll say goodbye to our online people. But before you go, I'd like you to use this in your remembrance time, Romans chapter 3. Just read this as you remember the Lord throughout this day. You can get yourself a drink and a biscuit or a piece of bread, and remember the Lord Jesus and his great sacrifice. Thank you and God bless. For the rest of us here, we've got a time of open sharing and open worship. You can use these words: God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't it a great fact that God doesn't treat us as we deserve? He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ to respond to him, that we can have a fresh relationship with him once again. So let's have a time of sharing and interaction. You might like to share a word or a prayer, and let's have a short time.